Wood County Prevention Coalition podcast, dedicated to bringing educational information to prevent substance abuse and help individuals achieve a healthy well-being.
I would like to tell you and introduce to you Major General Retired Barry Price, PhD, who is a 1985 Distinguished Military Graduate of the University of Houston's College of Business Administration. He earned a master's degree in history in 1994 from Texas A&M University, and in 1997, he became the first African-American to obtain a doctorate from the Department of History in the 145-year history of Texas A&M. He also earned a Master of Science in National Security Strategy from the National Defense University in 2004. Major General Price's military career has taken him all over the United States in leadership roles in many of our bases and forts, as well as tours of dirt duty overseas. He's also been a instructor at West Point, amongst his other career duties there. Major General Price currently serves on several national boards, including the Board of Directors of the Verde Technologies, the Board of Governors for the Center of Creative Leadership, on the National Action Alliance for Suicide, and on the National Collaborative for Research on Guns. He is the author of the 2001 volume Against All Enemies, Foreign and Domestic, A Study of Urban Unrest and Federal Intervention Within the United States. 2016 volume of Life on the Other Side of You, and the 2020 volume Homeland Defense, Civil Unrest and Federal Intervention Within the United States of America. Major Price has received Major General Price has received many personal honors, including the Army Distinguished Service Medal, the Defense Superior Service Medal, two Legion of Merit Awards, and the Bronze Star. He is a member of the Hall of Fame, one Hall of Honor, two Distinguished Alumni Awards, and has an honorary doctorate of Humane Letters from the University of Southern Vermont. Major General Price assumed his duties at CADCA as the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer effective October 1 of 2016, and he became the President and CEO of CADCA on September 1, 2020. Folks, please welcome Major General Barry Price.
Kyle, thank you for that introduction. As I was listening, I was really wondering who the hell you were talking about. You know, and I'd like to meet that guy. So thank you. Hey, everybody, please. My people call me GP, and I'd ask you guys to call me Barry. The only thing I wear on my sleeve is my faith. I'm an ordained deacon since age 19. And so with all of that aplomb that Kyle mentioned, that's not who I am. That's just what I've done. And Tina, I want to thank you for inviting me to speak with you all today, and I would thank you all for your patience. I'm just getting off of an airplane, just getting to a hotel here in New Jersey. I'm going to speak to some pharma execs, really speak to them about the problem that they're creating, and to see if I can get their support in creating some solutions and safe disposal. To include, there's a new company called Solvd, S-O-L-V-D, that has created a product that's going to be a game changer, which looks at, it's a DNA test that looks at 15 criteria, and those criteria will provide the parent as well as the provider with whether a person is low or high risk for substance use disorder. And that will be a game changer, and what should drive parents as well as providers into making non-opioid choices for their patients. So I wanted to share a couple of things. And Erica, I tell you, I came in at a great time as Erica was speaking, and I just really loved the laydown that she was speaking of. A lot of topical issues, top, mine issues across our nation. And I want you all to know that it was really the coalition's asking us, CADCA, for payment of or that you could use your dollars for the fentanyl test strips that had ONDCP to get the rules changed. And so that's the power of this movement. You know, last week or earlier this week, you all may have known that the SAFE Act for banking, where drug, CBD, THC folk are looking, we're looking to invest their monies in banking and have banking banks hold that money, take that money, be able to use that money, be able to invest that money. We got Congress through a letter campaign and a lobbying campaign. We got Congress to not approve that Safe Banking Act for the marijuana industry. And I think that really speaks to the volume of our movement. You all know that the CDC put out numbers recently that 100,300 overdose deaths, that's through October. And I read something yesterday that suggested that that number for 2020 will reach at least 120,000 and may reach 140,000. Now, just think about that. Tomorrow, a time-honored tradition, the Navy and the Army's football teams will play one another for that 150-year rivalry. And there's going to be 82,500 people in MetLife Stadium for that football game. And so if you think about, if we reach 140,000 by December, that means everybody in that stadium times two will have died from this overdose death. You know, I had a conversation with the CDC recently, and they were, I'm not the CDC, but the FDA, and they were doing almost curtain call and thinking about, because the number of opioid deaths, the the percentage of the total amount has remained steady state, and almost taking credit that the lion's share of opioid deaths are those that are laced with fentanyl. And I'm like, that's no reason. That's no reason to celebrate. 273 people are dying every day. And here's the larger problem. The U.S. represents 4.4% of the world's population, but we consume 80% of the world's opioids. And the issue is not just an opioid problem. The issue is a circulation problem. 34.6% of people using opioids had a prescription. That means 64.6% of those using opioids did not. And so we have to take, and so where are people getting these drugs from? They're getting them out of people's medicine cabinets. They're getting them because people aren't safely disposing of their drugs after they have satisfied their particular need. And those drugs are remaining in the case of a reoccurrence. People aren't going back to get a new prescription. They're saving their drugs for future opportunity. And what's happening, people are stealing those drugs. People are taking those drugs. People, they're not drug dealers or pushers, but people are saying, oh, you have this malady. Well, I took this for that. And they're exchanging pills. Kids are selling pills in our schools. And so we have a larger problem. And so that's why I'm here today, to see if I can get these pharma execs to get behind a program that will place the issuance, that will require the issuance of a safe disposal kit, in-home safe disposal kit. The one we prefer is the Verde Deterra pouch, but we're asking them to get behind issuing one of those kits with the issuance in pharmacies of all opioids, all benzodiazepines, all stimulants, and all hypnotics. This will go a long way towards taking those excess drugs out of circulation. We're looking at continuing on lots of upstream solutions, like education on primary prevention, but we're also, and not just stopping the problem before it starts, but you know, there's small P prevention, in treatment and recovery. And I've been on this listening tour with our coalitions, and you all really represent about the 400th coalition I've spoken with since September of 2020. And we've gotten all kinds of remarkable feedback and things that you're needing, that CATCA has access to the resource that produces that something. And so we're getting after it. And so a couple of things that we're continuing to work, evidence-based solutions. We're getting more involved so I'm a part of a conference next week with SAMHSA, ONDCP, NIDA, with all the government agencies who are in this space. And what we're trying to do is to come up with a common definition of what harm reduction is. I sit on a international council with the UNODC, which looks at drug abuse across the world. And harm reduction means something very different in Europe than it means here in the United States. And so what I'm asking them to call it what it is. So they're saying, oh, the Biden administration is in support of harm reduction. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Are you in safe disposal sites? I mean, are you needle exchange? Are you in safe sites for people to take drugs that they're addicted to? What exactly does that mean? And so we're going to flush that out next week, and we'll hopefully come up with a narrower definition of what the government means when they say harm reduction. Is medicated-assisted treatment a part of that? Is ESPRT, screening, brief intervention, and referral to treatment, a part of that? We're trying new evidence-based solutions. I had a meeting with the new administrator of the DEA, Ann Milgram, and their Operation Engage, which before was called DEA 360, and it only focused on opioids. And I'm saying to her, you know, meth is still a huge problem. LSD is still a huge problem. Crack and heroin remain large problems. And so though opioids are the major focus of the nation right now, we need to look broader, bigger than just opioids. And so they have included other drug types in Operation Engaged. And we're engaging with Walmart on the so-called, and I call it so-called overdose reversal drug, Narcan, Naloxone. The company that actually produced Emergent owns that product now, but the company that was the original manufacturer of Narcan, Opiant, they're now developing and going through FDA testing for an analog that's Narcan that focuses on fentanyl. And that's going to be something that we'll look forward to. I'm saying every place that I attend, every audience, that there's a lot of drugs that are still here that people aren't focusing on because they're just focused on opioids. You know, do you know we're losing 95,000 people every year to alcohol? Did you know we're losing 480,000 people a year to tobacco? And so we still have to work those other issues. And one of the things that had a board meeting yesterday with my board is that we're losing the battle. I think we're losing the fight because we have become so narrowly focused and siloed in prevention, treatment, and recovery. And the reality, what I'm hearing from our coalitions, is that they're having to deal in the treatment and recovery space in addition to prevention. And so that's what CATCA is moving to be more like our coalitions in the field. And one of the things, and the last thing, and I think is a challenge for us, is that we kind of we have a failure of imagination. We really have to think big, broad. And one of the things that I would ask you all to is to use our member center to surface ideas and challenges that you have there in Wood County. Because what you'll find is that somebody has already solved the problem in another place. somebody's already working it. Somebody has already figured out how to do this thing. And they can provide, if we edify and we encourage each other and we share lessons learned with one another, we'll start to see these numbers going down. And I will tell you that I'm fully engaged here in Washington. I'm fully engaged in Vienna, and I'm fully engaged with our coalitions. And I look forward to visiting you all once this pandemic behind us. And thank you for having me today. And I'll stop there and entertain any questions that you might have.
Major General Price, we do have someone who has been monitoring our chats in case we have some questions. They were to type those in. So, Greg, do you have anything that's come in?
There have been no typed questions. So, and if anybody has any questions, raise your hand and
we'll call on you and open your mic and then have you open your mic.
And if any questions come up during the rest of the meeting, I'll be on for the rest of the meeting. If any come up, or if there's any resources or any problems that you all have that you believe CATCA might be the answer, or I could weigh in with somebody here in Washington, please let me know.
The news this week that we saw, I think, out of New Zealand was mm-hmm. very encouraging, that the country has banned the sale of cigarettes to anyone born before 2000 or from 2008 on. They are not going to be allowed to purchase cigarettes at all and tobacco products. Is that something that even has a chance in the United States?
You know, so and this isn't to be disparaging on your loyal Ohio resident, but you see what the former Speaker of the House is doing now. It's, you know, tobacco, alcohol, marijuana is big money. And they line, and they have tremendous influence, you know, with our legislators, you know, and so the question of do we see that possibility in the United States? I don't think so. You know, we're finding that marijuana is using the exact same playbook that big tobacco used, you know, and it's working again. You know, watch this. Is marijuana a drug? Yes or no? But why is the FDA mute on it? Why is it an issue in the ballot box? Versus an issue with the FDA, with the Food and Drug Administration. And oh, by the way, we know the president, the last two presidents, President Trump, President Obama, said that if it made it to their desk, they would sign it. So I don't think that that's a possibility because of the deep roots that Big Tobacco has in the halls of Congress. Their lobby is strong. And they're padding pockets on politicians. And so they may say one thing in public, but they're voting a very different way in private. Now, I will tell you that they were very supportive of taking away the flavored e-cigarettes and vapes and even taking away menthol so that it doesn't appeal to kids. But I think it's the ambition is the greatest evil in our system. And I think ambition often gets in the way of true justice and doing the right thing sometimes in a politician.
Okay. I think we did have a question come in from Carol Baden. What attention is being given to upstream prevention and trauma for youth and children affected by parent, guardian, household substance abuse consequences?
Yeah, we've that's a great question. Was that from Ann?
Carol,
that's a great question, Carol. Something that we pivoted to that CATCA is now teaching, that the federal government is taking on, and ONDCP is taking a hard look at, is ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and how that influences outcomes. And and using drugs. We really hadn't looked at mental health holistically, and the effects of mental health or mental health challenges in soothing those things with drugs and alcohol. And so we're doing that now. In fact, we've added that ACES to our National Coalition Academy. And now for the first time, ONDCP is really looking at it. SAMHSA has been saying it for years, but we were, and our focus on just upstream solutions, primary upstream solutions, which was abstinence or delaying first use, we're now realizing that we have to be broader and go deeper if we're really going to make a dent in the problem and turn the tide back around. And so that's a very great question. And we are looking at adverse childhood experiences and their effects on drug use and abuse.
We do have, trying to remember now just exactly how many years back, but we started adding the ACEs questions, I think, two or three surveys ago. So we now have some trend data to look at. And
appreciate that. That's good. That was Kyle.
Yeah,
as well.
We definitely could send that to you. We actually have our entire history since we've been surveying since 2004, but we added the ACE questions, I think, around 18, maybe 2018. Okay. But we are able to make some correlational relationship conversations and talking points around how that all relates to mental health and suicide ideation and drug use and smoking and vaping and all that stuff. It's really interesting. Our problem is trying to find good curriculums to go in and really attack it in our schools. Mm-hmm. But it's there.
Yeah, one of our master trainers, Stephanie Strutner, who I believe is from Tennessee, has really been the lead for us and our involvement in ACEs and a focus on ACEs and realizing that there's a real correlation between child experiences and mm-hmm. mental health and drug use.
Our most recent data is just now being evaluated, and for our entire county, it'll involve around 10 to 12,000 students in the county, and we did have our newest report then ready just about the time of forum, so we plan on bringing that so that we can share it also with our congressmen and senators.
Wonderful. It's something you guys might consider either mid-year next summer or mm-hmm. forum of 23. We'll give you guys a spot to give a class on what you've learned and what the data is sharing, because that's something I think everybody needs to know. And it's something that everybody, and that's, I think, the beautiful thing about what CADCA provides is the assembly, the place where people can assemble, where they might be edified by one another. And so that would be a phenomenal class. So let's look at, Kyle, either next summer at mid-year, which I think will be in Orlando. What a tough place to go in the summer, right? Or forum of 23. We would love to have you guys present that.
I think I have another follow-up question. I think it's from Carol again. Is CADCA helping states advance peer support as career opportunity for persons in recovery?
No. So the reason that it's designed, we've only been focused on primary prevention, abstinence. And I would tell you that it's really been the listening tour that has really caused me to say we need to do more, go broader, go wider. And so peer support is certainly on the agenda of things that we'll be looking to do in the future.
Well, General Price, we want to thank you for speaking with us today. We really appreciate you taking your time out. We probably have another 30 minutes, maybe.
So if you're okay, meeting. I'll just stay in and listen in, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do, is to invite you to do that.
Okay.
And we thank you again on behalf of our whole coalition. This was very interesting and informative. So thank you.
And when we open back up, please invite me out to one of your coalition meetings. Or if you guys have an annual celebration, invite me out to be a part of that. I'd appreciate that.
Very good. Thank you very much. Thank you.
This podcast is intended for educational purposes only. Those views expressed on the podcast do not necessarily reflect the views of the Wood County Educational Service Center or the Wood County Prevention Coalition.